Welcome to the podcast that's all about solutions. If you get that the coercive state is the problem, but you're tired of complaining about it, this is the place for you. Join us as we ask, what then must we do? All right, I'm here today with Neethi Bali. Neethi is the high priestess of the pasture, according to Joel Salatin. And I'm just going to start off with that. You do a lot of things in the world in sort of the food freedom movement. But I think what we really need to talk about today is sort of the core message of why there needs to be a food freedom movement. What's the problem and what do people maybe not understand about this?
Well, I think it's bigger than the food. I think first we need to understand that all the systems were centralized in 1910 when Carnegie and Rockefeller became the primary shareholders of pharmaceutical. And what they did at that time is they filed a report. It's called the Flexner Report. F-L-E-X-N-E-R. It's a report that everybody should go and research. You should go look it up, read it. It is the white papers for the Flexner Report are tremendous. But what that did was it created centralized systems, not just for food, but for food, centralized education, centralized prison system, centralized banking system, centralized medical mafia, centralized, government. The government was centralized at that time in a different way. It is not our original government. We are not established and tied to the land and soil as we believe. That's something people need to know. And that if you want to find your way back to the land and soil, that requires action. It requires knowledge. And one of the things that you need to know is, what is this Flexner Report? That Flexner Report is what established the medical standard of care that you may be familiar with. And that standard of care was only designed to benefit the snake oil salesman. That's what it was for. And it was one of the most brilliant, biggest power plays on humanity ever. It was one of the biggest power plays on humanity ever. And what I think everyone needs to know is that there is an occulted, like a hidden, occult means to hide. So hidden knowledge from humanity, and that knowledge differential creates a power differential, which leaves a few people with a lot of power. And everyone else is basically enslaved underneath it voluntarily because they choose it. And so, this becomes really messy and convoluted on the ground because it is, there are so many psychological operations going on in an effort to maintain this occulted knowledge, to keep it hidden from people. And I find it to, I mean, like one of the things, one of my main purposes is to de-occult, to unveil this knowledge, because I firmly believe that if everybody knows the rules of the game, then there are no tricks. Then you can't be tricked anymore. You're being tricked into doing things that you may or may not otherwise do, because it's a complete and total psychological operation to support this game, you know, and maintaining this knowledge, you know. And they need it to remain hidden. As long as it's hidden, then they can, you know, psychologically mind control you. That's what they're doing.
So what is the knowledge? What is it that is being hidden?
So the ancient truths, the ancient hidden universal laws the natural laws of this universe have been occulted, have been hidden. And even the word occult, most people liken it to like Satan or the devil or something that they don't want to know anything about or touch or be involved with because it's bad, and it has this negative connotation, but that is on purpose because, if you were to dive into that and look at what that is, then you would learn the truth. And the truth is very simple. It's that, your infinite intelligence is embedded within you. You were born with it. You are connected to life, like God force, like constantly. And you are born, worthy beyond belief. And you're born with the knowledge on how to operate, and have anything and everything that you want, anything that you want to create, anything that you want to make or have or do. And, people kind of get lost at this moment because they get lost in the Lamborghinis or something. And I'm like, no, I'm talking about your power as creator to come into this world. Why are you here? Like, everybody's like, what's our purpose? We have to go to university so we can learn our purpose. No, you don't. Your purpose is to create, to be a powerful creator. Use your imagination, do something. Do something, do things, make things, like be a creator. And this is the first thing they do is teach you that no, you can't do what you want. You can't be what you want. I mean, they tell you, you can be whatever you want to be, but then they tell you, you can't be what you want to be because you can't get up and you can't move and you have to fall in line. And you have to,
the educational system certainly supports that. It's not, it really sort of, it's in my experience. I did both sort of experimental private school and then public school. And to me, it's very clear that the agenda there is to turn people into sort of useful employees, people who will be useful for other people.
Human resources is the number one commodity in the world, which is,
what a name, what a...
I mean, they call it human resources. This is human slavery is what it is. And yes, 100%. Like, why is it mandatory to go to school? It's not for your good. It is because they don't care about you. Like, they don't care about you being knowledgeable. They care about you being out of balance. They care about controlling you. They care about programming you with the bells and the timing and the everything from the very beginning because, the nerve of you to just get up and want to go look out the window or to go outside. You're drawn outside. You're drawn outside. Children don't want ever to sit down. Never mind be inside. If you allow a child to do whatever they're going to do, they're going to be outside laying in the dirt, hugging a tree, eating the rocks, something. They're not going to be sitting inside. They're not. Yeah. And you have to force them to do that. And that training, that programming is encouraged from the beginning. And, parents, you guys are just, go make some money or go, you're not even worthy if you don't go out and, win the prize, go earn the certificate, go, get the ABCD letters or whatever it is that make you like all important.
Right. It's a whole game that's been set up and we're all kind of playing it without thinking about whether that's the game we want to be playing.
Because you're not allowed to think about what you want, because that's selfish. Are you crazy?
Now, how does this translate? I know you're talking about sort of a very broad centralization of our lives, kind of. How does that translate how do we see that in healthcare, for example?
Well, why don't we talk about how do you see it in everything? Like, it's a centralized system. Don't you see the system? There's a school system. That's a centralized thing. University system. It's centralized. They have to meet the standards. They have to meet what? Who is the man behind the curtain that came up with this standard? They make you believe that, oh, there are boards on all of these things. And so, everybody has an influence. No, not at all. In fact, read the Flexner report, please, everybody. It is your moral obligation to read the Flexner. Did you hear what I said? It's your moral obligation. If you don't read it, you are acting immorally, and you don't understand that what you're doing is operating in lies, because the centralized system is based on lies against nature, against the natural law, against the universal law. And so when you work in opposition to yourself, which is what you're doing, like if you're in school, you're sitting down because somebody made you sit down because someone told you you had to sit down and you don't even want to sit down. And you know, it's not even good for you to sit down and your legs are cramping and you don't feel like sitting there anymore, but you're sitting there in opposition to yourself. And the lie is, well, you have to control yourself. Sit down.
Right.
You have to control yourself. Okay. They don't even have someone controlling you, because we are humans. We are God. H-U means God. Man is mind. We are God mind. And so we are not honoring ourselves in that moment. We're not. We're working in opposition to ourselves, which is 100% immoral according to natural law. Natural law requires you to operate in truth. The truth is, if you got to go use the bathroom, it's the only excuse they allow you to honor. It's the only instinct they allow you to honor. You can't eat or sleep or see the sun when you want to. You can only use the bathroom.
What do you say to people?
Is even with permission, right? Like, why?
Right. It's not always granted. What do you say though to people who maybe come from, because I hear this coming from religious people also, that the things you're talking about are natural instincts, drives, our knowledge of ourselves is something that needs to be suppressed because
religion is a tool for division. They use religious institutions. They're all man-made. All religions are man-made institutions. Yeah. I mean, some human being wrote the books. Every religion has some book. And it's from, and listen, you know, I understand that what I'm saying is in opposition to everyone's beliefs. These are false beliefs. I had to acknowledge that for myself, okay? Because I am someone who was raised with a lot of faith. I mean, any of us in our cultures, you know, I believe that I'm a God-fearing, you know, loving human being. You know, that's how I was raised, you know? But what I know for sure is that I also was talked into by my faith, by my teachers, by my training to basically be complicit in the murder of our own daughter. I wrote about this in my book.
Yeah. You know? Do you want to talk about that a little bit? So just to let the audience know.
What I'll say about that is I read a book because honestly, it was killing me telling my story over and over again. It's just not good for me to keep saying it over and over again.
Right.
But anyone who wants to know the details, please read my book and, you know, get it in detail, because I have it all in context. But the long and the short of it is that we had a daughter. She was diagnosed with CCO neuroblastoma. I know for sure. These are the things that I know. I can make very bold statements after having walked through the fire. You know, I've been forged in this fire. So read the book to get the details so that you know, don't think I'm a crazy person. I mean, or think I'm a crazy person. I don't really care. But what I know is that your belief is not required for my experience to have been real and true. Okay. And what I know for sure, is that our daughter was first vaccine injured with her MMR vaccine, and then she was medically murdered. And we chose it. We participated in it. I took her to the doctor I took her to the places. I trusted the professionals because, you know, I'm a mere mother. What do I even know? What could I possibly know? Nothing. I don't know anything. I got to do what the people tell me to do, right? The professionals. And that was 100% the training, right? This is the centralized training from birth, you know, that you are to not honor yourself, your God self, your God mind, you know, your connection with God. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to honor your connection with your creator or with the soil or with the land, you know. But you are to fear nature, and you are to, you know, like some man has to interfere and protect you and save you. And you need to seek this protection from whoever it is, right? So I had to hire the right pediatrician, and I had to know the right doctors and all. And just think about how many times I'm giving my power away to somebody else to make a decision for my daughter. And she's being cared for by perfect strangers. And I'm supposed to, I have made myself believe that they care about her more than I do. That is a joke. That's laughable. And it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. You know, comedy plus time equals tragedy, or tragedy plus time equals comedy. It's a comedy. At this point, it's a comedy. It was not a comedy. It was a tragedy. And it was what really woke me up to my own power and my own truth. And when my daughter died, all I knew in that red hot moment was, oh my God, we did this. We did this. Why did we listen to these people? And, you know, like before all of you go crazy and think that I'm just sitting here saying that all healthcare professionals are murderers, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the institution is 100% corrupt. The institution and the training for any of those very loving, caring human beings who go into those, you know, areas of work because they want to make a difference. I believe that. Do some of them become narcissists? Yes. Can a surgeon be a serial killer? Yeah. How would you ever know? Who's going to ever bust them? I mean, you know, surgeries, people die. No one is going to take personal responsibility for that because the institution operates, you know, not as a human being. The institution is not held liable as a human being. So once an institution or corporation has been established, it no longer behaves as human. And now these non-human, powerful leaders are telling everybody, we are in charge and you have to do what we say. And we foolishly allow it. We give them our power.
And just to circle back a little bit, I wanted to make one point because the things you're saying are, it's hard to say. It's hard. I'm hearing a lot of the things you're saying and it's like, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's hard to say to someone who hasn't heard this before. And so I'd like to make one point getting back to the Flexner report, because that was the point where really it was called patent medicine back then. It was medicine that could be patented, and it essentially was it still is. We just don't call it that.
Because then it would be even more in your face, but
right. Exactly. But if you look back at the history, that's what it was. It was the purveyors of patent medicine who got together, and because they could patent their drugs, they could make more money off of those drugs. But the reality was back then their competition was homeopathy. It was, botanical medicine. It was traditional Native American medicine. I think there were a couple other modalities too, but it was
nature, right. Everything
different. Yes. Natural. Yes. And so they came together and formed this political bloc basically to force their competition out of the market. And you know, it didn't happen all at once. They shut down a lot of schools. They shut down a lot of homeopathic schools. They shut down schools that taught women to be doctors, that taught African-Americans to be doctors. I mean, they shut down all the people they viewed as their competition. And as you said, they put in place these rules and this structure whereby what's considered legitimate medicine is what they're pushing. And
it's de facto. Let's call it what
yeah,
it is. They did, first of all, language matters. Mm-hmm. So this is part of their own rules. Okay. What you need to understand is what is legal is not what is lawful. There is a difference between what is legal and what is lawful. So what's lawful is tied to the soil and the land. And what is legal is de facto or illegal, actually, is what de facto means illegal. It does not mean that it is lawful. De jure is what you call lawful. So they filed this Flexner report with Congress and they instructed Congress. They said, anyone who is practicing medicine and recognizing that the body has energy, they should not be allowed to practice medicine. Just let that sink in for a minute. They were told that anyone who recognizes that the body has energy can no longer practice medicine. That effectively eliminates all holistic medicine. And the only medicine that is okay or what they consider allowed or to be funded by the government, okay? They said you can no longer fund these other things. So actually, holistic medicine has never been illegal. It's always been lawful. Is de facto illegal because what they said is you will no longer fund it. So they weren't given any marketing or funding or support. And then they centralized an educational system that supported that. And then they centralized a university, you know, educational system that supported that. So anyone who has permission, like a license or a certificate or whatever you want to call it, even your holistic practitioners, all your holistic practitioners currently today who have permission, a license or certificate, their A, B, C, D, E, F, G from an institution is de facto allowed to practice medicine, but they cannot go against standard of care in this country.
Right. And we're seeing that now.
Because everybody thinks, well, I'll just go to a naturopath. And I'm like, no, there is no person in America that is operating under litigious threat that will work with you and be truthful. And you're not going to believe anyone who isn't, like me, for example, or somebody like just a mama. You wouldn't listen to anybody like that because, you know, that's irresponsible. And right. Stupid and right. Crazy. And
just to you said that, holistic care is not illegal, but practicing medicine without a license is illegal. And
no,
so
it's not.
No? Well,
it is 100% not. So here's the situation. If someone practicing medicine wants to have permission to operate, they are going to have to operate under those permissions. If you want to practice medicine and you just want to help people and you're not going to get the permissions from anybody, then you're going to have a hard time growing your practice because the general population is ignorant. They are ignoring knowledge. They're ignoring truths. Ignorance is not that you just don't know something and no one expects you to know it. That's nescience. Okay. Nescience is when you don't know and no one expects you to know. Like, for example, I'm not a nuclear physicist. So like, I can't really speak proficiently, you know, on that topic. So, but nobody expects me to, because I don't go around saying, hey, I'm a nuclear physicist, right? And, or that I have received that knowledge, or that I have sought that knowledge, or I have tried to learn how to be a nuclear physicist. However, if I know, which I do, and I've studied for 14 years in depth, you know, what causes cancer, what are the problems, you know, with food and how they affect our body or whatever, unless I have some permission from somebody, people are going to think I don't really know that. But, you know, isn't it interesting that we can gain knowledge on our own if you know how to read, and if you have people that trust you? Like, I have an entire food church worth of people, thousands of families I've worked with now over 14 years, reversing all kinds of disease. And I did it all without permission. I did it without permission. And I told everybody who I worked with, hey, if you want to know what I know, then you can join my food church where I can preach to you, because you chose to come, and religious, you know, you chose my church to come to.
So what is a food church?
It's just what I call this place. It's not anything. I mean, I think a lot of people think like I have some kind of business structure that allows me permission, but let me just explain. If I seek permission, then I'm playing their de facto illegal game. I'm operating lawfully. I am doing no harm, which is lawful, and I'm doing it courageously on my own, and I'm doing it by educating the people that I work with. I only work with what I call eaters. You know, if you're an eater,
what's an eater?
If you're an eater and you want to, you know, people say, you could think of something better than that. And I'm like, no, I can't, because eating is an agrarian act. And if you are an eater and you understand agrarianism and you want to operate and heal yourself in an agrarian way, then you can come and learn something from me, because I'm just an old lady over here who happens to have lived through these experiences with a whole lot of people, where I can share that information with you if you want it. However, if you're a consumer who is a dehumanized robot that just does what the litigious people tell you and what the institutions tell you, and only wants to be protected by the insurances and the governments and the whatever, you want protection, then get away from me. Don't come near me. And I will not do business with you. I make it very clear to anybody who I'm speaking with face to face, or, you know, if I'm advising somebody or I'm talking with somebody in that capacity, then I make it very clear to them, hey, you are responsible for yourself. If you don't want to be responsible for yourself, get away from me. I don't need to be with you. I don't want to deal with you. I don't want to talk to you. And you don't deserve to know anything that I do. Like, go learn that from somewhere else. It's fine. You know, there's so many people out there that are smarter than I am, and they all have degrees or permissions or licenses or whatever. I don't. Just go find one of those people to help you. But what's interesting is none of those people can heal anyone. Not anybody I've talked to. If you know somebody they've healed, then that's wonderful. That's all we want, is for people to live and not die. That's how I feel. I don't want to be on this earth alone. And I don't want to be with a bunch of people that are suffering needlessly, you know? And if you have a food allergy, if you have a rash, if you have allergies, if you have a cough that you can't get rid of, if you can't talk without choking, if you can't quench your thirst, if you have, you know, restless body parts, if you can't sleep at night, if you aren't happy, if you can't be elated and joyful and, you know, just celebrating yourself and all the people around you and embracing the tapestry of all the different people and just loving them, then you are not well. And you need to figure out, you should want to know why. And it's on purpose, because there are people trying to control you and come between you and all your joy. And you're letting them because you believe whatever they say to you, whatever it is.
Or because maybe we've been taught from a young age not to expect joy, that to just,
well, you're not allowed to be. Let's just say that even in every single religion does not allow you to get past contentment. All of them only allow you to get to contentment. And that's the middle of the emotional sphere. Love is on one end and grief is on the other end. Love is on one end of the stick and grief is on the other end of the stick. And contentment is in the middle. And can't you just be content? I mean, come on, Brittany, you just want so much. Why do you want to be more than content?
Because I'm greedy.
Yeah, I mean, one step away from, you know, anger and one step, you know, a couple of steps away from, you know, sadness or whatever. Well, I've already been all the way down to grief. And how did I find my way all the way back to love? How did I possibly do that? Oh, I took responsibility for myself and I decided I'm not playing this game anymore. This is crazy. I literally murdered my own child because I let somebody make me believe that that was fine or it's just bad luck or whatever. And by the way, I don't not forgive myself for that, but I will take 100% responsibility. There's a difference. I mean, there was a long time that I didn't just wasn't really thinking that I even needed to forgive myself or whatever, but like I have 100% forgave myself. Okay. Just for the record. And which is the reason why I can say that or say any of these other things, but I will tell you that that was the only way. Taking responsibility was the only way for me to be able to love unconditionally. Which you're not even supposed to ever be able to do, Brittany, because you're just a mere mortal. Okay.
Well, like, what you just said is actually huge. Because I feel like, well, I know there are a lot of parents out there now who have children who've been injured by the medical system in one way or another, not just children, have family members who've been injured or killed by the medical system. And to take that step to go so far as to, first of all, acknowledge that's what happened and then recognize your own role in it. That's huge. That's, I don't want to say, you know, oh, you're special. You know, not everyone can do that. Cause I think, you know, everyone has the capacity to do that, but it is a huge thing. It is a huge step that you were able to take.
Well, I believe all of you can handle the truth. And I firmly believe that all of you are worthy and capable of doing anything that you know, but you just have to have knowledge. You need to, if somebody tells you that you can't operate without a license and you believe them, which most people do because they think this is legal or whatever, and it's 100% illegal, okay, then that's how they operate. And if they believe that the only person that can help them medically is a licensed professional, then that's what they 100% believe. I did. I believe that. I don't believe that anymore. I also know I have to do the hard work of knowing how to do things. Does that mean I have to do everything? No. I know how to, like, look, you know, Joel Salatin's one of my mentors. I know how to do a lot of things. And if I don't really know how to do something in regenerative farming, for example, I mean, I have the cream of the crop and the leaders of regenerative agriculture who I can turn to and they will help me be successful.
I can see a lot of people sort of turning on what you're saying and saying, oh, well, you don't believe in experts at all. You don't believe in expertise. You don't believe you can learn anything from any other people. That's not what you're saying. I think what you're saying is more, yes, there are people out there with expertise, but it's still on you to determine whether they are worth listening to. And maybe, you know, maybe, there's not one person who's always worth listening to. Maybe someone gets it right 90% of the time or 80% of the time. It's still on your discernment to be able to, and that's tough because A, that's not what we've been taught in, okay. in our schooling system. We've been taught the opposite, you know, do what the teacher says, do what the person in authority, they have the right answers, listen to them.
Because you're stupid, because you can't possibly know anything.
Right.
And you know what's really interesting about that, Brittany, is that, you know, Joel's learning from people all the time. He has an opportunity to go around the world and see how they practice regenerative agriculture all over the world in different situations and circumstances. All of those things are not going to work in Swoop, Virginia. Okay. They're not. Or mm-hmm. here in Raleigh, North Carolina, or where my friend Mark Baker is in Michigan, you know, or whatever. There's different people in different places that have to do different things because of the different environment, you know. And no, I'm not saying you can't learn from anybody, you can't get help from anybody, you can't work with other people, or you can't support other people's enterprises. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you have to work in alignment with truth. You have to work in alignment with your own inspiration. And your inspiration is coming from your alignment with truth, from your, because listen, you and me, we're not equal, okay? I need you to understand that. Me and you are not equal. Why are you even trying to be you, Brittany? Why aren't you me? Why aren't you doing everything I'm doing? Why aren't you thinking like me? Like, what is wrong with you? Right? That's what they say, basically. They basically say, you are all supposed to be equal. You're supposed to be the same. You know, you're supposed to think all the same things. And, you know, they're freaking great. They're like master psycho operators. They're like doing these gigantor. Look at this psych op they just did. Look at it. It's a global game. And they, where are the brilliant minds that established OSHA or whatever mm-hmm. other regs that all of a sudden don't remember what they did? And now they just don't, I mean, like everything, there's no written handbooks anywhere because, you know, it's all on the internet and the internets can change on the minute. So, you know, I mean, a guy can become a girl on the moment on the internet. So, you know, this is 100% immoral action. When you see Cookie Monster's hand in the cookie jar and he's going, I'm not eating cookies. I'm not taking the cookies. And you're like, but I see you. And you tell somebody, but Cookie Monster took the cookie, you know? And they say, well, no, you're a conspiracy theorist. Really? I can see him. I see him taking the cookie and eating the cookie.
You use the word moral. I'd love to get back to religion a little bit and the distinction that you see between morality, religion, God, faith. Where are you with all of that? Do you consider yourself a Christian?
Morality is not objective. I mean, sorry, morality is not subjective. It is objective. Morality is the alignment between your thoughts, your emotions, and your actions. It's a triangle. It's a masculine ideal. Morality is when your thoughts, your emotions, and your actions are in complete alignment, then that's that time that you get chills because you get to do something so much in line with your inspiration. You know,
what if your inspiration is to harm other people? What if you're
never going to be that because you're of love? Nobody's ever going to be inspired to do that and be happy.
Not a psychopath?
No, they're not happy. No, their emotion is not in line with their action and their thought. It is not.
So you're saying we are sort of our spiritual makeup is such that
we're of love.
And we're only happy, we're only functioning well if we are moral. Okay.
Because we are, by natural law, liquid love. You are liquid love.
So what about religions? What about religions? What
I just told you, it was a divisive tool. It is a psychological operation. It's a divisive tool. I don't know any religion, even the New Age religions, that allow you to take correct action. Because even the New Agers are like, oh, action is not required. Just think positive thoughts. Okay, no, dummy. If you want to get to Florida to go on vacation, you must take action. So you get an idea. Ooh, I want to go to Florida. And then you say, ooh, that makes me feel happy.
Right. There's a lot of BS in that movement.
And you take action to go to Florida. And now you've manifested yourself in Florida. Now you could talk yourself out of it because you're not worthy. You can't afford it. Whatever, whatever, blah, blah, lies. And then you feel, and inside you're just like, and you're not doing what you're inspired to do. I need to go to Florida. Right? Well, you're not allowed to go to Florida because you're a bad person. No, you're not allowed to go to Florida. You didn't earn enough money yet. You're not allowed to go to Florida. You didn't do the deeds that they said. You didn't win the accolades or whatever. Nobody loves you enough for you to go to Florida. That's crazy. If you want to go to Florida, just go. You know? And you're going to feel great. But people who are psychopathic killers are already unsatisfied. They're malnourished is what they actually are. That is the truth. If you are high on sugar, which is all plants, then you are 100% a psychopath because you're out of balance. The other things I talk about, Brittany, is that, you know, there's a masculine side of the brain, which is the left hemisphere, and a feminine side of the brain, which is the right hemisphere. And the left hemisphere is the intellect. A lot of people confuse the intellect for intelligence, but it's only one part of the word. Intellect. That is only the left hemisphere of the brain. This is the side of the brain that is, you know, the scientific, logical, you know, side of the brain. And then you have genere, the feminine side of the brain. Genere, to generate. That is also the side of the brain that is the compassionate one, the big picture thinking, the pattern recognition side of the brain. And you've probably been told, like everybody, that you're either left brain or right brain dominant, because, you know, that sounds so cool that you're so dominant in something. No, this is an imbalance. You don't want to be left brain imbalanced, because that means that you're going to be a narcissist, right? An arrogant, selfish person. If you're right brain dominant, now you're, you know, full of naivety and you're, you know, dependent. You're a weak, you know, you don't want to be that either. What you want is holistic intelligence. So you must develop both sides of the brain, but you don't even do that because you don't even know you can.
Right.
Professionals, somebody told you that. Well, holistic intelligence is required for you to be of your highest moral self. It is the way that is the way the masculine money economic guy has the ability to recognize the patterns when he's being tricked, which requires the feminine side of the brain. And then that pattern recognition is, wait a minute, every time they ding this bell, I got to get up and move into the new room. Wait a minute. I don't want to even do that. I don't want to. All day long, all week long, children are made to do things they don't want to do, like leave their home and leave their mothers and leave their fathers. And this is not normal. And it's only been happening for 100 years, folks. Nobody did this even as far back, even as recently, not far back, even as recently as the Waltons. You remember that?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
What about Little House on the Prairie?
Right.
You know, everybody worked from home. Everybody worked at home. Everybody did things. They did things. Not because they're stupid, but because it's not because they're they have taken the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine, and they have completely diminished it. Men are sacred. Women are sacred.
What you're saying has a lot of implications for what's happened in our society with this tremendous split between male, female, and masculine, feminine. What would you say about that?
Yeah, 100%. And that's even now, the religion didn't work enough for them to be able to really divide everybody up and like control them properly. So then they decided to make the believers and the non-believers. Mm-hmm. The heathens and the whatever, you know, I mean, it's so crazy, you know, like they're just pitting everybody against each other in every way, shape, and form. Because how hard is it for me to find something that I can line up with you? You know, oh, well, we agree on some things, but not everything. Well, why don't we just agree that we're for humanity? And I don't even care how we get there. Like, that's unconditional love, right? Well, you're not allowed to ever experience that because you're just a mere mortal. You're just a mere mortal. No, you're not. You are God mind. You are God mind. And now they want to make you equal to a sentient being. Let me say something else that's going to blow your mind. Are you ready? Plants are sentient beings. If you really understand botany, then plants are aware of their surroundings. They know how to get what they need from their surroundings. If you understand botany, then you know that plants.
Yeah, I've seen them do it. I've seen them do it in my garden.
All right. They want to live and not die. And they can proliferate wherever in the world they can get to. And they want, you know, livestock to eat them, to help them. They've figured out how to get their seeds out there.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sacred hoop. They have feelings too. So let me just crush your ethics conversation about how life begets life. You have to have life force to give you life. Stop eating powders and potions in an effort to gain health. That is so stupid. You are ignoring, you are operating ignorance because you're ignoring the truth, which is of God, which is nature. So if you have a God that you believe in, I don't even care what the God is. If you don't believe in God, it doesn't matter. Nature is truth, whether you believe it or not. And, you know, the reason that they had to explain that patent thing, by the way, Brittany, in the beginning, is because that was when people still knew that nature or that science was the study of nature. There are young people today that are 45 and under who have no idea that science is the study of nature. They literally think science is the truth. Yeah. And they're always looking for this.
We just saw that in blazing color. Yeah. Yeah.
These people, these children, God bless them. They truly don't believe this is truth. This freaking just happened. Okay. It's happening. Did you see what am I talking about? What happened?
Well, I need to ask an expert whether that's gravity or not. Sorry. Let me come back to you. And
I mean, yeah. Do I need the science to be settled on this? Did this even happen? What's happening here?
Yeah, science has replaced religion. And so I think there's what you're talking about is really, and I know it's hard for religious people to hear this, I'm sure it is, but it's the same mechanism at play. It's the same strategy at play. The everything we're seeing with science now, how it's been corrupted and used as a tool to control people and to divide people, the same is true for religion. And I don't think I saw that clearly until recently. But it's not that science. Yeah,
all of these things are religions. You know, because people are very dogmatic about politics, about science.
Yeah.
What is their scientific belief, whether they believe it's naturopathic or not, which is the same thing. It's the same.
So how do you talk to someone who, say, is a devout Christian and was brought up in a religion and have had, you know, had only good experiences with it and really, you know, believes all of that. And you believe in God, right?
I had really good experiences with it. Let me just tell y'all, I'm Indian. I grew up in, you know, Charlotte, North Carolina. I was surrounded by Southern Baptists, Catholics, I mean, whatever, everybody. And I mean, we embraced every, like, if you understand Hinduism, then you understand that Hinduism embraces all the religions. And people are always like, what's your religion? And I refuse to talk about it, because then that immediately puts me in a box. And now I can't talk to anybody.
Right.
You know, who cares? Who cares what my practices are? Because what they think is, if they know my religion, they know my morality. And morality is not objective. I mean, sorry, subjective. I keep saying that wrong. It is solid. Morality is only when your thoughts, your emotions, and your actions line up.
But that requires you to see it for yourself. That requires you to be the one, not to hand it over to some priest or doctor or somebody to tell you.
Right.
So what you're talking about really removes the whole power hierarchy. It removes someone else's ability to be your answer, to be your, you know, am I good? Am I not good?
That was the original, you know, if you look at Buddha or Buddhism, or you look at, I mean, all this new age stuff is really just going back to the two ancient religions, which are Buddhism and Hinduism. Those are the first two religions. Okay. So it goes all the way back, but the thing it's all lacking, all of them are lacking action, which is the masculine, the sacred masculine. Mm-hmm. Action is a masculine trait and it requires action. So yes, you have to have positive thoughts. You have to have pure positive energy, right? And you have to feel good about your thoughts, and you have to not allow the negative thoughts. That doesn't mean that you don't get angry. That's the false belief. If you didn't get angry, how could you stand up for what is correct? You can't morally take action until you're angry. And people are like, you're so angry, Neethi. Well, shouldn't I be freaking angry? Someone talked me into, not someone, some, a lot of ones, everyone talked me into, including my religious beliefs and whatever, because I should honor the elders and honor the physicians and the professionals and the whatever, right? Like, I don't care what your faith is. That's what people do, right? When you get this diagnosis, you go pray and you go seek your leaders and you pray for the right doctor or the right somebody to come and save you, right? These are lies. So everyone, including all the faith, and this isn't me, before the people start saying, well, I lost my faith or whatever. No, I never was even angry. I was never even that person that was like, oh man, look what God did. What kind of God does it? I never did any of that stuff. I didn't. I never felt any of those things. All I kept thinking to myself was like, what did we do? What's going on? Like, what is it that caused this? You know, like what, how did we arrive here? What happened? You know? My husband was made to believe that he was to blame because his family had so much cancer in it. Oh my gosh. I did not know that. I found out a couple of years, thought I blamed him. I never said it, never thought it even one time, because I knew I was putting a puzzle together. You know, after she died, I had time to kind of look back, right? Because hindsight's 20/20. And I was able to go through the pieces, and I was able to see that she got an MMR shot that resulted in thrush. It went to, and I outline all of this for you in my book. So
what is the title of the book? I just want to make sure.
It's called Farm to Fork Meat Riot.
Okay.
I had a copy of it.
I'm going to link to it.
Yeah. So of course I don't have one here right now, but
that's all right.
Oh. I'm a good promoter. Anyway, yeah, I am just saying that, you know, like everything in my life, everyone in my life made me, you know, believe that I was doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. Only for me to find out, oh my goodness, I'm so crazy. And I never, I'm going to do that ever again. And I've been able to deliberately and intentionally turn the health of my entire family around. And I'm talking about me, my husband, and my two kids. I can't control the other people. Okay. And I can only control my household. And, you know, my husband and I made a decision that, you know, I mean, as I was discovering things, because I was in charge of the research and he was in charge of researching medical interventions. And what we both came to was all the medical stuff, holistic or otherwise, is all the same lie. No one in America is ever going to tell us anything else because it's illegal, de facto illegal, for them to tell us that, you know, we have something else that we can do, and we would have to be operating outside of the permissions if we want to hear the truth, which we did, right? And when we figured it out, then we were just like, I mean, I got more knowledge about how to heal from my farmers because they, guess what, have to figure out how to heal all their livestock all the time. You can learn more from a vet than you can learn from an actual medical doctor ever. Mm-hmm. And there's so many of them now that actually have been mistrained and whatever in a way, because they're all into, you know, violating.
It's the same system, right? It's...
Well, now it is, you know, it wasn't for a while. And it was, you know, like you and I have lived long enough to remember the Waltons, and I could see in your eyes how joyful you were about that.
Little House on the Prairie, my family grew up on it. Yeah.
Yeah, we did too. Right. So, I mean, think about the radical self-reliance that they had to have, how courageous they had to be out on the prairie. I mean, who's coming to save you?
Right.
Nobody. Were they waiting for someone to save them ever in all situations that they were in? No. Did anybody even know what was going on with them? No. Like, It would be weeks and they'd go into town and they'd be like, oh my gosh, we hadn't seen you in a while. We were about to send somebody looking for you, you know, or whatever, which was for real serious, like looking for you somewhere, whatever. And when they would come out to find them, you know, would realize, oh my gosh. And then the whole community would come together and what a big deal, you know, that would be, right? But like someone had to find them, like, drop dead in there. What about Caroline Ingalls, the one episode where she had, you know, an infection in her leg and she was just waiting for somebody to come, you know, and realize that she couldn't get up out of her seat in the house because if she'd have risked going to the door, she might fall outside and then she would be exposed to the elements and she wouldn't be able to get back inside and she needed to stay by the fire and blah, blah, blah. I mean, like, you know, but it was a nice example for us to reference now and say, hey, remember this, like, you know, but
it's what it looks like when your responsibility is it's with you, you know, where you're,
yes,
you don't have any sort of expectation that there's this other entity that's going to come. It's like I think that's the appeal of it too. It's like, it's a picture of life when you're responsible for every piece of it. And it might look smaller than what we've got. You know, they didn't have cars and airplanes, all that stuff, but they were responsible for every piece of it.
Right. And you would imagine that if we all thought the way that we did during that era,
we'd be dead.
No, what I mean is if we thought like them today, with all of our advancements, that we would, I mean, they cared so much because they were going to die if they didn't, like they had to care about each other.
Yeah.
And they knew how hard it was for each of them. And so they cared even more. But now that everybody's connected to each other all the time, the training is, girl, don't be worried about her. You just take care of yourself. Like, don't worry about them. Right. You take care of yourself. Right. Why are you caring about that other? That's what they teach the children in school. Why are you caring about that other person?
Wow.
You need to care about yourself.
Wow.
You're like a child is upset.
Isolate them early on.
Right. A child is upset because they see another child upset and they want to love them and they're not allowed to love them.
Which is totally natural. It's what children do.
which is what we want them to do. And then you say that you didn't teach them not to be loving and caring. Yes, wow. You did. You're the one who said, don't care about that person.
No.
But they're not allowed to care about anybody because they get in trouble every time they care about somebody. From 2 years old. So now, or why aren't you saying to them, look at what you did. You know what my daughter used to say when she was alive? She used to say, Mom, why is he so mean to me when he, about her big brother? She'd be like, why is he so mean to me when he knows he loves me? What a powerful thing for a child to say. Why would he do that to me when he knows he loves me? And what if we were to say that to adults, you know, today? If someone comes to you, I mean, right now, everyone, why is it that people need permission? You know why? Because we've created this litigious society where everybody's first thing is, I'm going to sue you for blah, blah, blah. Really? Why won't you love me? Why won't you love me? Why won't you care about me to find out why this had to happen this way or what happened? How are you any better than a mafia hitman or a mob boss where you're just going to be like, oh, your child had an accident and accidentally hit my kid. And so now I have to threaten you with something, whatever it might be. Like, why?
It's so deep in our culture. Yeah.
You got
the antagonism
on soccer fields or whatever, where they don't even belong. Like, get away from your kids and let them just go play. Can they just go play? And all you need to do is teach them how to care about each other. And that is all. When one of my kids comes to me and starts screaming about whatever, or something, I'm like, I don't know what happened, but y'all better find a way to love each other right now. Like, it doesn't even matter what happened. Can you just care about each other and love each other right now? Why is everyone not saying that to their children? Because really, that's all. There is nothing serious going on, friends. What's happening on the soccer field that is worth your imposing and impressing upon your children to battle each other? They should just love each other and figure out a way to do that. And let them figure that out. They need to, you know.
Right. Well, that's what we did when we were kids. Our parents weren't around when we were playing. We were out on the street playing with our friends, and we had conflicts. We resolved them, you know, fights, and then we made up and whatever. But we did it. You know, we very rarely, very, very rarely went to our parents to help with anything.
My mom didn't care. She didn't know what we were doing. She could care less. She's like, if I tried to go talk to her about that, she'd be like, girl, I don't have time
for that.
Go figure it out and go. So, hey, Brittany, do you remember when you or your friend would have this whatever disagreement? You could and you would, and without hesitation. Hey, Brittany, you hurt my feelings. You hurt my feelings. And then if your friend said that to you, what would you do?
I'd probably run off for a while, but then come back and we'd make up, you know?
That might be one reaction. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, but you that figure is it natural. Out. Yeah. You might be like, oh my gosh, because you might feel so bad, or right. You're trying to process it or whatever. But I mean, or you might say, what are you talking about? What did I do? And then I might say, well, when you said, la, la, da, 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 you really hurt my feelings. Then you might say, oh, and you might run away. Or you might just say, well, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. And that wasn't what I was trying to say. And this is what I really meant. And then I might say, oh, well, you still hurt my feelings. And then you might just give me a hug and be like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. And then I would get over it. And then we just keep going on and playing. Like, this was a thing that was a regular occurrence on the playground.
Yeah. And I still see it with little kids. I still see that kind of dynamic going on sometimes, but it's when you leave them alone, you know, it's when you like, cause they're incredible. I mean, they're great communicators. They're genuine you don't have a whole lot of kids who are already have that shield up of here's how I'm supposed to behave. They just say what's there to say. if you leave them alone to do it. It's this, you know, trying to control everything and program them. And, you know, it's just, it's become nuts.
You take all that away from them. But I mean, if I say that to an adult right now, which I have, okay, so this is what happened. So recently I had a freezer go out and I found a used freezer from some guy who like has a bunch of used equipment, right? And I went to see it. I told him I wanted it. He was going to deliver it. And he asked me to send him an online payment. Well, the online thingamajiggy, whatever I did, didn't work. I didn't understand it because on my side, it said it went. And on his side, it said he didn't get it. And it was a big thing. And I was just like, well, do you want to come over here? Because I really sent it and I don't know how to fix it. And I called the bank, like I called the bank, he called the bank. We both were trying to figure it out. It didn't work. He literally made the time. He came here because we were both kind of yelling at each other a little bit. And I was just like, well, I'm not trying to fight with you. I mean, I want your equipment and I'm trying to give you money. Do you want the money? And he was just like, yeah. I said, okay, well, come over here and let's figure it out. We both called the banks in front of each other and did all this stuff. Eventually, somehow the bank put the money back in my account, like by the time it was all over with. And he was sitting right here with me. And I was like, whoa, I'm so glad that they did that, because now I could just go get the cash out to give you the cash. Because that was crazy, like that, whatever that automatic thing is that doesn't work sometimes. You know what he did? He gave me a big hug. And he was just like, I'm so glad. He goes, I'm not trying to take advantage of you. And I said, well, I wasn't trying to take advantage of you either. This is a perfect stranger, okay? Mm-hmm. And now we're very good friends. Like, I just want to buy everything he has because he's just a nice person. This can happen all the time. And instead, everybody's so busy screaming and yelling at each other. Why?
You know, they talk in economics, they talk about high trust societies and low trust societies. Sorry, my cat's in the way of the mic here. And in low trust societies, it becomes very dysfunctional, because if you can't have like a basic level of trust among strangers, you know, not that you would trust them with your deepest secrets or hand them all your money or something, but if you can't have like a basic level of trust, then you can't get much done. You know, you're always watching your back. You're always, and I've lived in other cultures. I spent like 10 years in Asia, and coming back to this country was a huge shock. And that's one of the things, because there's so much conflict that's just part of our norm. You know, it's part of the normal level of where we are. And it's gotten worse the last 20 years. It's gotten so much worse. But we are becoming a low trust society. We're becoming this society.
It's nothingness. This nation operates on nothingness. There is nothing going on that is that serious. And the things that are really serious that are going on here are not given any attention.
Yeah.
Like, there are some serious things going on here, and there are a lot of things that are not serious going on here.
And those are the ones that get the attention.
Yeah.
It's a distraction. I mean, it's distraction.
It is. So if you are the person that turns something on and then listens to what they say and believes that one thing is the thing of the day, then you need to know that they had to work really hard to find you that one problem amidst all the infinite love. Okay. And the training is that everybody's driving down the street constantly at odds. What it is they're in opposition to themselves. So then they can't be in alignment with you because they're in opposition with themselves. When you're driving on the street and there is a system for you to drive on the street safely, and you can't just operate in that very basic system because you're so in opposition to yourself, probably because you're going somewhere you don't want to be, probably because you're doing something you don't want to do. Why don't you try to make a conscious decision, a deliberate and intentional choice to do what you want to do so that you can stop acting in opposition to yourself, that would be your moral obligation. It is your moral obligation to stop operating in opposition to yourself and start operating in alignment with yourself.
That's, again, that you say it so easily, but that's such a huge thing. I think a lot of people will think, oh, well, myself, I want to, you know, what I want is, oh, I want to grab this junk food off the counter and eat it. Or I want to sit and watch this garbage on TV. Or, you know, I think when you're so out of touch with yourself, with your true self or with God,
which you are,
know what that is,
man, God mind, which you are God mind. If you want to be in line with your God, you know, people talk about the white light of Christ. Well, can you visualize that? Like, let's visualize it. If it's coming to you and through you, how are you connected if you are completely not paying attention?
Right. Or if you think you are these other things, if you think you're the junk food, you think you're the TV show, you think you're all these distractions, getting away. And that's a big thing in yoga is, you know, distinguishing between the worldly distractions, and probably in, you know, the good part of all religions is making this distinction between the material world and the things that we're attached to, like my alarm that's going off, sorry. But making that distinction, and that's, it's, you know, again, it's easier said than done, but it's probably the most important thing we can do.
Right. It's easier said than done if it's not your priority. If it's your priority, everything's easier. If you make it your priority to connect with your God power, with your life force, first thing in the morning, every day, just by going out and looking at the sky, first thing, just go out and look at the sky. Even if it's a cloudy sky, you know that sun is there, and you could just be thankful that the sun came up for you again. That's why the birds are singing about it. You know, they forget everything that happened yesterday, and they wake up, and it's literally when they say that they forget, and you know, they literally are like Dory. They don't know.
Are they? I don't know anything about bird psychology.
I mean, the only reason the beasts of our planet are only operating in this moment all the time. Otherwise, they couldn't be joyful. They're not, they don't have imagination. We do. They are sentient beings. We are not sentient beings. We are human beings. We are God mind. We have imagination. We have been assigned dominion over all of the things here. We are assigned the responsibility to steward the land. The animals.
We've been doing a crappy job of it.
Not that we're supposed to, because we don't operate in alignment with ourselves. You have to. There are more of us and fewer of them. And I'm talking about these people with the power differential. And even they can't be operating in this their highest joy. But I'll tell you what, the number one reason that we're doing this is because of order followers.
Yep.
And the number two reason is because of the masses who are the number or better order followers than even the ones giving the orders. So just stop it. If everybody would just turn everything off and think quietly about what it is that they have to do to just make enough money to do their little bitty thing, and everyone did it all at the same time. If we could just get all on the same page and just do that together, we could just eliminate all these lies in one fell swoop.
I don't think it would even take everyone. I think 20% of the population, you know, did that.
Well,
I think it would
maybe
be a different world.
But I think that here's what I know is knowledge is required and action is required. And if you don't want to take the time to understand what we just talked about today, then shame on you. Because it's not about me. this is bigger than all of us. And it's really about you. And if you don't understand that I'm trying to speak power back into you, then you don't really know what I'm talking about. You should probably listen again. Maybe if you listen every day, you might hear something and be like,
replay it. On that note, we should wrap up. We've gone quite a bit over, but this has been fantastic. This is really, really, I feel like we could do this several times over again. Any closing thoughts?
Oh, I just want everybody out there to know that you're just worthy beyond belief, and you just keep diminishing your worth yourself. Like, just stop it, you know? And if you could just love yourself, like, all the way, like, love yourself first, because you can't love anybody else until you love yourself. And if you aren't able to find a way to do that, you know, it's because you're not nourished. You're not satiated. You can't be satisfied unless you're satiated. And you can't do that if you're on a pill or powders, or I don't care how pure the powder is or whatever the crap is. Like, go find some beef from a farmer that you can just put your eyes on and just support them, because you need that for your brain to work right. And if you don't understand that, then look it up, because that's what's important and that's what matters. And, you know, if the orthodoxy is telling you to go up, then just go down. Because I just told you that if you start with the Flexner Report, you will learn that all of those systems, the communication systems, the media systems, the whatever, all of the systems are wrapped up in that Flexner Report like a nice little package, and they are organized and they are working in synchronicity. And the rest of us could just throw that box right on out the window and start all over if we just decide that we want to work together, because we are human beings. We are God mind beings, all of us. And can we just all love each other and be for each other? That's all. I want us to be for each other.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to What Then Must We Do, the podcast for those who understand that the state is the problem and are seeking solutions. For more episodes, go to bretney.substack.com. That's bretigne.substack.com and subscribe.